All right, degenerates, we are here once again to bring you your recap episode. You want shitty picks? We fucking got them. Don't you worry about it. We got you covered from tip top to all the way down to the bottom. I am joined, as always, by your co-host, Mr. Steven Sampson. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Welcome to week 11. We're almost to the fantasy playoffs. Some of us will watch from the sidelines and cheer on our favorite fucking avatars, if you will.
Yeah.
I will not be one of those people. I'm still holding out hope that I can sweep my way through and make the playoffs.
I'd hate to do it to you, buddy, but I believe you are mathematically eliminated.
I am never mathematically eliminated. If everybody that's ahead of me loses out the next 3 weeks, I will make it.
I don't think so.
I am going to be the New York Giants of the division.
Hold on. I'm looking up your playoff odds right now. Let's get this out of the way. All right.
They're slim and none, and slim's on a train to the West Coast.
I take it back. I take it all back. You have a 0.5% chance of making the playoffs.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I was just about to say that. You beat me to it. I'm in the playoffs right now, and I still only have, added up together, I probably have about a 25% chance, and I think that's pretty generous, to be honest with you.
But I have the tiebreaker over you.
I'm not worried about you.
Later.
I'm not worried about you bumping me out. I'm worried about finishing below you because my team sucks.
I know.
So,
and I just got to keep winning, and you just got to keep losing, and Mike's got a chance to beat two people.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to week. This might all come down to week 13, which is the perfect scenario for me because I just want to sit back on my couch and watch you two duke it out for the Cleveland Steamer Award.
I do have a slight advantage.
You
half
do.
My team doesn't have week 13 on bye.
Yeah. Yeah, we noticed that too. He has the entire Buccaneers offense, and they're on bye week 13. So he has no quarterback, no tight end, and no top end receiver.
Yeah.
And his team rides or dies with the Bucs. The Bucs go off, he goes off. The Bucs suck, he sucks. That's where the buck stops, if you will.
So
I don't see any major breaking news. Hold on. We're going to hit one real quick.
Breaking news.
Are you sitting down, Steven?
Yes, I am ready for it. Hit me.
Antonio Brown's in trouble with the law.
No, say it's not so. How could this be?
So I did not read this part, but I'm 90% sure he was leaving church where he was committing his time to charity, and then he was attacked by security guards, and then when he was defending himself, okay, he threw out a bunch of cuss words, he hit them. And he started breaking their security cameras with a bicycle he found, which I'm 90. That sounds like self-defense. You know, when you start swinging a bicycle at security cameras, I am 90% sure that's self-defense.
So I have to agree with you. It had to be self-defense, especially with the poor kid attached to the bicycle.
No, I mean, so in all seriousness, in case you guys hadn't heard, I doubt you haven't, but Antonio Brown's been on a NFL team for 2 weeks, and apparently some security guard was asking him where he lives inside this gated community, and he just went off and literally picked up a bicycle and started smashing their security cameras, and supposedly he assaulted one of the security officers, which should be a violation of his parole, his probation, whichever it is. I forget if it's parole or probation, but
it's just probation.
Probation.
He didn't go to paroles after you go to prison. He'll get that next.
Yeah. You're right. You would think this would violate him to prison. I mean, you violate your probation, that's typically the next step. But we all know how the laws in this country really work. He's rich. He's famous. He's not going anywhere. But does it cost him his job with the Bucs?
Honestly, they knew what they were getting when they signed him. I think they'll let everything play out. The legal do their investigation, drag it out.
That's the other thing, too. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but supposedly this all happened before he signed. And the Bucs didn't know about it. Like, did they really not do any sort of investigation into this dude? Like, they just put pen to paper and fucking signed him?
Well, Tom Brady vouched for him. They're Thunder buddies, man.
Like, Jesus Christ. They didn't even fucking Google him? Like...
Oh, guys, who's this Antonio Brown cat? He looks like he's a pretty good receiver. I watched some tape.
Oh,
what's this?
God.
Domestic violence, beating up fucking cameras. Oh, this guy's
sexual
pretty solid.
Assault allegations.
Yeah, we'll put him out. Probably get us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Take it away.
I would imagine, like I said, the league's going to pass down judgment with Antonio Brown. I would imagine it's going to be extremely swift because they have a history now of him being disruptive. And I don't expect Antonio to be on the team if the allegations have any truth to them whatsoever. I would imagine he's unemployed again by the end of this week, if not this week, next week.
So I wonder if that pisses off Touchdown Tommy.
After looking at the box score and what little bit of the game I was able to see, I don't think it's going to bother him one bit because it looked like Mike Evans was his favorite target last week.
I was just about to say, it looks like Tom Brady's eating a little crow. He decided to get in line, listen to his coach, and target Mike Evans. And wouldn't you know it, the offense clicks, they move down the field, they play well.
I don't know if it was his coach, Brian, or if he's listener 12. But I do think we did say he needed to get Mike Evans involved in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I watched that game. I watch every game on Red Zone. But, you know, I did see they panned that game a lot. And let me tell you, he was looking for Mike Evans. These were not desperation throws. These were not, wow, he's 20 yards wide open. I mean, he was looking for him. And
yes,
it is such a drastic change from the last few weeks. It's almost like that story got out, you know, that they weren't happy with each other, the tug of war, all that, like we talked about. And him and Arians got into a room, worked it out. Tommy said, you know what? You're right. You're the coach. You run the team. I'll do my thing. You do your thing. Just tell me what you want. He went out there and did it. The offense clicked. They look great. So maybe this is crisis averted. I kind of wonder how long this lasts because I don't think Tom Brady really wants to do this.
No, I would say the same thing. I wonder how long this lasts. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks, but it was nice to see them actually throw the ball to the second most talented receiver on the field.
Yeah, right behind Antonio Brown.
Well, behind Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, Rojo, everybody else on the field. No, in all seriousness, I hope we get back to where you see Evans and Godwin both splitting the number one like they did last year with Winston, because with Brady being a much superior talent to Winston, it would be good to see that offense really kicking where it should and what we expected it to be when he went there.
Yeah. So another piece of news, Mr. Drew Brees broke some ribs, died inside anyway. He's going to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks from what I've read. They're not IRing him just in case he can come back that third week, but it doesn't sound good. Jameis Winston is going to be starting for the New Orleans Saints. They play Atlanta this week. If you're quarterback needy, are you making a waiver claim?
Absolutely. So what I'm doing is not only am I making a waiver claim for Jameis Winston, I am also for the first week this season starting Atlanta's defense, because I think both have a good chance of being very good this week, with Winston putting up 4 or 5 touchdowns for both teams. Breeze, I think the more reason that they're not IRing him is not so much whether they think he'll be back within 3 weeks, but it's more of whether he can play through the pain next week after Winston pushes them farther out of the playoff picture. But I do believe he is probably a must start this week against Atlanta.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if I was quarterback needy, which in some leagues I am, I have waiver claims out for Jameis Winston. I want him. I want him so bad. Especially since the quarterback I had in that league was Teddy Bridgewater, who is also not going to start, or at least it sounds like he won't.
I don't expect him to start.
I mean, from what I'm reading, it's up in the air. It's a game day decision, which is not good.
Yeah, no, I don't expect Teddy B to start this week. I think they give him a week off.
So, I mean, the other one is Matt Stafford, but they're already saying that they think he's going to play.
Yeah, I would be suspect for Stafford not to play. He's one
a
of those
tough
quarterbacks.
Motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, he played all year last year with a broken back. I don't think a finger's going to what is it, his thumb. Yeah. I don't think that stops him.
So I think that's going to cover all the breaking news, and we're going to go straight into our boom bust recap to give you all of our shitty picks.
The boom bust recap.
So I'll start with mine. Absolutely terrible this week. Literally just god awful. 0-4 on the booms. Baker Mayfield sucks. 6.7 fantasy points from a fucking quarterback. I don't know how they didn't put up more points against Houston. Baker, man, I'm done picking that fucking bum. I don't care who he's playing. J.K. Dobbins against New Orleans. Mark Ingram, not playing. Wrong, he did play. J.K. Dobbins only played like a third of the snaps. Outside the top 50, he finished outside the top 50, 2.4 fantasy points, sacks. Travis Fulgham, which, gotta give the devil his due, Steven. You did say that they could spread the ball out a little bit more, and maybe he doesn't get all the work like I thought. And you were 100% right. Travis Fulgham, outside the top 50, at wide receiver. That's a lot of wide receivers. 1.8 fantasy points, one catch for 8 yards. Sucks. My tight end was Mike Gesicki against the LA Chargers. Huh?
Mike Gesicki?
I said Gesicki.
I know, I said Gesicki.
Oh, I thought you were correcting me. Sorry to get so defensive. It's not like you. Mike Gesicki against the Los Angeles Chargers, who are notoriously weak against tight ends, did not have a good day. Finished tight end 18. If I picked him to bust, I'd have been right. And I picked him to boom, so I'm clearly wrong. Only 6 fantasy points.
That worries me with him, especially where people drafted him and the fact that a lot of people are still using him as their tight end 1 because of where they drafted him.
Yeah.
Miami's not using the tight end that much.
No. It's definitely not Tua's thing.
No.
Although they did use that other kid, Durham Smythe.
Smythe, yeah, which is odd, but it warrants watching.
So that's the thing that really bugged me about it, was not that, I mean, this kid, Smythe, played 67% of the snaps.
Yeah.
He caught the only touchdown that went to a tight end. And it's like, why didn't Gesicki get that look, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little worried as the for now Mike Gesicki owner.
Yeah, he's making his rounds through the league. I dropped him at the right time. I'll tell you what. Both times.
Yeah, I burnt my waiver priority on him too, you motherfucker. So that rounds out the booms. As you can tell, none of them boomed. But don't worry, I did hit one bust. Okay,
ooh.
Went 3-1. Just a disgusting week for me. Tom Brady against Carolina. Like we talked about, played a great game. Finished quarterback 1, 40.25 fantasy points. Which I believe that's pretty close to where Dom Grady finished, if I'm not mistaken.
Dom Grady was the 1.1 quarterback.
Josh Jacobs. I should have known what I was doing to myself when I made this pick. Josh Jacobs was on Steve's team.
Thank you.
Steve played me in the Daydreaming Degenerates League, so of course he goes off. Josh Jacobs finished running back number 2 on the week, 31.6 fantasy points. If I'd picked him to boom, he would have got 10. Guaranteed. But I picked him to bust like an idiot. I fucking jinxed myself. And he went out there and fucking rolled. I did nail the Tyler Lockett pick against the Rams. He was ranked wide receiver 9. He finished wide receiver 31. 11.6 fantasy points. 11.6 doesn't kill you, but it's pretty fucking far from a boom, and it's definitely not what you draft a Tyler Lockett for.
Was he the highest scoring Seahawk last week?
Potentially.
For fantasy? I think he was.
Other than Wilson, yeah.
Wilson had less points than that. Wilson had like 9.6.
No, I thought he had like 15.
No, that's fine, because I don't have it up in hours, but I'm bringing 12.4. it up right now. Okay, so close. Yeah, some of my other ones, it was 9.6.
All right, nailed the Tyler Lockett pick. Very happy with it. Tight end, not so much. This is kind of incredible. The three of us picked 3 different tight ends. Me and Steve both picked the number 1 tight end for the week because they had the same exact amount of points. And Eric picked the guy tied for third, that fell into third. So we picked the top 3 tight ends for the entire week to be our busts. They only had 13 points. So it's not like they had great fucking games. It was just a bad week for tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews finished, like I said, number 1 on the week with 13.1 fantasy points. bad week for tight ends. I mean, nobody gets fucking 14 points. Like, that's the bar, 13. Ugh. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're happy to see that from your tight end, but you're also not doing cartwheels, you know?
No.
Let me tell you what I did get right, okay? Cosby's deep sleeper, Josh Reynolds versus the Seahawks. I told you motherfuckers to play him, and I hope you did. Because if you did, you probably won some money this weekend, just like I did. 17.4 fantasy points in exchange for a measly $3,500. No-brainer. Easy. Fuck it. I was so pumped, man. I'm watching this dude rack up the points, and I just know that my dollar bills are going up, too. I was so pumped. And my Samson's deep flex play not only was a great flex play, he was one of the top wide receivers for the week. Brandon Ayuk against New Orleans. He was ranked wide receiver 37 this past week, and I don't know why. It's not like he was hurt. I don't get why they ranked him so low, but he finished with 19.7 fantasy points, had a great fucking week. Steven, how'd you make out?
Well, I think I ended up one better than you in the bus, but I did a solid 0-4 in the booms this week. My boom quarterback was Mr. Ryan Tannehill, who flopped right during recording, put up a phenomenal 13.25 points.
Right before our eyes.
I mean, it was definitely something to watch. Devastated a lot of teams this week for anybody starting the Titans. The running back boom that I had was J.K. Dobbins. You alluded to that. He already busted outside the top 50. My wide receiver was Christian Kirk, who was the wide receiver 29 to start the week or to finish the week, Brian?
That is to start the week. He was ranked wide receiver 29.
Okay. Yeah. And he finished outside the top 50. 6.7 fantasy points. Picked Jimmy Graham against Minnesota. Good thing I was hungry for that one. I got myself a donut.
I can't fucking believe it. In that soft-ass matchup, I cannot believe it.
No, I couldn't either. That game was... I have not seen Nick Foles look so inept since last week. I mean, it's a good thing for Chicago's defense because Minnesota should have just like run all over them with that game. Chicago's defense definitely kept them in, but
yeah,
just missed passes. Foles was, they got to do something about their quarterback. I don't know how they're in playoff contention with what they've got under center.
And they don't have a good running back either. It's like where the fuck do their points come from?
From their defense. That's what's crazy. So on to the bus. So 0-4 on the booms, continuing my streak of shitty picks on the booms. For my bus quarterback, Tom Brady, Dom Grady, number 1.1, still lighting up fantasy rosters everywhere. My bust running back, I actually got right, call it. On the show, Mr. Derrick Henry was ranked the number 5 running back for the week, finished at the number 21 running back for the week at 13.9 points. So I nailed that one. I was a little worried at the end of the game because a couple weeks, 13.9 points would be a top 10 running back. So it could have been, could have gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But got that one. I shared my Tyler Lockett pick with you. That was another win. So that gives me my second out of 4. And as you alluded to with the tight ends, I picked Gronk Smash, who tied for the number 1 spot at 13.1 fantasy points. Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. My Cosby's deep sleeper, I took the chance on Mike Davis against Tampa. He was $4,000. Did not help you much. 8.4 fantasy points. If you started him, you probably lost. And my Samson's deep flex play, I took Curtis Samuel, right in that Curtis Samuel train against Tampa as well. And 4.2 fantasy points, this was not the week to put him in your flex.
For once.
Yeah, well, was a good matchup.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next week with McCaffrey probably still out. I would imagine he's still going to have some relevance.
Yeah, and a softer matchup.
Yeah. So what do we have for Eric's picks this week?
Oh, the commissioner was just as bad. He went he hit the only boom of the night, though. He did go 1-3. Baker Mayfield for his boom quarterback, same as me, sacked. He made a last second pivot to Zach Moss at running back. He was ranked running back 21. He finished outside the top 50. 2.7 fantasy points. There's just not enough work there to sustain a running back, period. Wide receiver, Deontay Johnson versus Cincinnati. He was ranked the number 22 wide receiver. Eric predicted a boom. He nailed it. Finished wide receiver number 4. 25.6 fantasy points. What a call. Good job, Eric. Tight end, not so much. Jimmy Graham versus Minnesota. We talked about that. Big fat fucking donut. Wasn't even sugar-free. Just Eric getting fatter and fatter.
Habanero donut.
Yeah. For the bus, Eric picked Justin Herbert at quarterback versus Miami. Says he has to have a down game eventually. And by Justin Herbert's standards, this was a pretty bad game. I mean, he only finished quarterback 9 with 24.35 fantasy points. Not a bust. That's my boy. Don't pick him again. Justin Herbert will keep breaking your heart, Eric. I guarantee it. At running back, he picked Mike Davis against Tampa Bay, who was ranked number 8 for the week. He finished number 30, 8.4 fantasy points. Mike Davis ain't that fucking good. It did not take the league long to figure him out. You know, he started off red fucking hot in McCaffrey's absence, and he's just been petering out ever since. And a wide receiver, he picked the other side with the Seattle Seahawks. He went with DK Metcalf, and he was even righter than us. So we picked Lockett. He finished wide receiver 31. He picked Metcalf, finished outside the top 50, only 4.8 fantasy points. And at tight end, he picked Hunter Henry, who finished tight end 3 on the week because they were two number ones with the same exact score, with 13 fantasy points, 0.1 less than Mark Andrews and Rob Gronkowski. So we did not do well picking our bus this week, for sure. Eric picked Evan Engram versus Philadelphia to be his Cosby's Deep Sleeper for $4,500. I believe I told him that Evan Engram fucking sucks. And sure enough, he did. 3.5 fantasy points. Definitely not a bargain. And I hope you guys didn't start him. And, of course, the Samson's Deep Flex play. He picked wide receiver A.J. Green, who absolutely fucking blows. Against Pittsburgh, who absolutely does not blow. And it was a match made in heaven, the perfect combination, exactly what you would expect, a fucking donut. And I happen to know for a fact that he was outscored this week by Mr. Mike Evans. So that's going to lead us to
That's Brian's beer.
Suck it, Eric. Suck. So I honestly don't know where. It's still mind-boggling to me. I mean, I know he, like, I get people being down on Pittsburgh. Maybe they're not as good as their numbers portray, but they're not bad. Can we quit pretending that they're bad? Like, they are good. Maybe they're not great, but they are good. Like, enough's enough, man. He's taking this way too far, you know? It started off with, like, being a little suspect about Pittsburgh, and then before you know it, they're fraudulent, and now they just flat-out suck. And, like, A.J. Green can go out there and put up double-digit points. Like, come on, man. Let's not get silly. Let's not get silly. That's going to wrap up the boom-bust recap, and we're going to go straight into our head-to-head.
Head-to-head recap.
Steve, how'd you make out?
So, on my head-to-head recap, I picked you and me. I think we went with a round of Brian's.
We did. Go ahead and tell the people. Tell the people what happened.
Well, what happened was I didn't start the mustache, and I won. Not from any help from my quarterback. I had Drew Locke, who was absolutely fucking abysmal until, like, the last play of the game.
Yeah.
Pretty close to that. I think he had 4 fantasy points or 3.8 fantasy points or something like that. And then he threw up a touchdown and ended up with 10.5 fantasy points.
And he couldn't even throw it to Judy.
Just fucking horrid. But Josh Jacobs, welcome back, sir. Second game of the year, you boomed. And right when I needed you to do it. Kareem Hunt put up 18 points. Nice and solid with Chubb back. It's good to see that he still has his role. My wide receivers weren't great. All of them underperformed. 10 points from Cooper Kupp, 10 points from Tyler Boyd, 8 points from Rhaegar, and Kenyon Drake against Buffalo put up just about 12 points, so right at what he was projected to do. The Bears defense helped me out a little bit, put up 13. But the big hero on my roster this week, Shane, Kicker Lives Matter, Brian Suckup. 15 points from Tampa Bay's kicker. Really made the difference in this matchup for me because I ended up winning by
9.
When it was all said and done, 9 points. Shout out to the kicker, man. They still fucking suck.
That only tells me you didn't deserve to win.
I did. I deserved this win. I needed it. It's been a long time coming. Moving on to my Eric and Shane's matchup. I think we all picked Eric.
Yes, we did. It was a round of.
Round ofs. Shane pulled it off. Congrats to you, Shane. Happy to see that happen. Spartan 300 live on. Justin and Mike. Tampa Bay went off. So Mike went off. That was embarrassing. That was almost a 70-point win for Mike. Good for you, Mike. I'm happy for you. Probably the last big game you're going to have this year, but you got one, and that's what matters most.
And like literally everybody else on his team. Well, Cole Beasley had a fucking monster.
No, Beasley had a great game.
And Chase Claypool was really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, his running backs and Michael Thomas has been abysmal.
Oh, yeah. Biggest disappointment of the draft. Biggest.
I know.
By far, I think.
It's getting there, man.
Looking at Michael Thomas, he's played 3 games. He has less than 20 points for the season. For your first round pick, usually in the top 6 or 7 picks, I'm very sorry for your bad luck. But it happens. It happens every year. There's always that guy or a couple guys. Last year it was Juju. This year it's Michael Thomas.
Well, you know who else it was last year? Last year, Mike took Alvin Kamara in the first round, and he busted.
Yeah.
He needs to stay away from the Saints.
Maybe it's Mike.
He flat out needs to stay away from the Saints. It's not a good match.
No, it's not. But, Mike had a good week. He got good performances out of some of the guys that he's been counting on and some really big performances out of some guys. I think Beasley's extremely underrated with his role in that offense. Claypool is definitely coming on as a rookie. So I think you'll see more of those games coming from those two guys. On the other side, Justin he got a good pickup with Teddy B, and then Teddy B got hurt. He was rolling there. McKissick had another good game. McKinnon, I really think, blows. Lockett, we already talked about. Kirk, we talked about. Both of them had down games. But then you get into his almost donut, and then DJ Dallas had a tough matchup against the Rams, but all of Seattle had a tough matchup that last week. So, but Philip Lindsay and Jimmy Graham did not help him at all. He didn't even his kicker even underperformed. It's too bad. Kickers really do suck. And then let's see. Next up was Nate and Adisa, and I picked Nate, and he edged out the victory over Adisa. That was a fairly low score, an under 100-point game. I think that was the overall lowest scoring matchup that we had last week.
Yeah.
Just nothing real exciting last week. Big scores usually from Derrick Henry on one side, Dalvin Cook on the other, but pretty tame for all the matchups this week on that game there. I don't think anybody really stands out. Other than Malcolm Brown had a decent game at almost 20 points with the 2 touchdowns, but he really didn't do anything other than the 2 touchdowns. There was a decent amount of points left on the bench for Nate. It could have been a much bigger win for him if he had put Hines in, but that's hindsight.
Yeah, but he's always a tough start.
He is. He is. But I think we talked about it with Duke Johnson, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But we didn't talk about pulling him out. We talked about...
Taylor.
We talked about starting Mooney.
Oh, right, yes. Wow, good thing he didn't start Mooney.
Yeah.
Another down week for Mooney. And then who else did I have? B Mart and Dickey. I picked B Mart, and Dickey ran away with that one. Dickey's looking like he's getting started at the right time with his team for the playoffs. Juju had a good game. Big Ben had a great game. Kamara had a fantastic game.
Yeah, Eric's been calling that one for a while now. He's been saying he's due for a big monster game, and he finally did it.
Yep. See, Fournette It's tough to not start Fournette, but he picked the wrong Tampa guy.
Yeah, Rojo's day-to-day.
He's got both Rojo and Fournette. So if I had both, Rojo's in for me every week. Godwin had a reasonable game. Like I said, Juju had a good game. And then Ayuk, you called that one. Colts defense was decent. So overall, Dickie's really getting hot at the right time. B-Mart got killed by Russell Wilson. That didn't help him any at all. Robbie Anderson and Travis Fulgham, Evan Ingram, all three really bad games. The rest of his roster did pretty decent. I mean, he had a good game out of Deontay Johnson. Keenan Allen had an all right game. And Daryl Henderson had an all right game. Nick Chubb's back. That's good. 20 points out of Nick Chubb. I think B-Mart will get going. Putting Rodgers in would have really boosted him up another 20 points. It still wouldn't have helped him, but it would have been made a little bit closer.
Yeah.
And then my last one was Jared and Ricky. And I picked Jared. And Ricky ran away with that one. 145-94, about a 50-point win. There wasn't a whole lot special on Ricky's side. His guys just all performed, did what they were supposed to do. James Conner did not, but everybody else pretty much had a decent game, or at least close to reasonable.
Well, with James Conner, I mean, like, it seems like everybody in Pittsburgh is firing on all cylinders.
Except
for James Conner, who has been fucking abysmal. Are they just not using him? Are they abandoning the run because they finally have some wide receivers to throw to? I don't get it.
I think that was the case the last 2 weeks, because leading up to the game against Baltimore in week 8, he's been getting at least 15 touches a game after week 1. And he's been putting up decent numbers up through week 7 with the touches he was getting. Week 8, he salvaged it because he had a touchdown and 3 catches. The last 2 weeks against Dallas, he had 9 rushes, and Cincinnati had 13. He's another guy that's volume. He needs the 15 to 20 touch range to really do something with it. But I think they just spent most of the time passing from what I watched of that game on Sunday. Everybody's wide open. I mean,
yeah.
Ben had a monster day throwing the ball. Even Juju had a good day, and he's not been that great this year either. So when all three receivers have a nice game, there's no reason to run it with Conner. So I can see why they went away from the game script. But I definitely am concerned, if I'm a Conner owner, where they're at right now with him, because he's not getting anywhere near the work he was getting earlier in the season.
And, I mean, you can keep hating on Juju all you want, but he's turning it around. He's looked good.
He is. No, believe me, I don't hate on Juju at all. I want him to get the work. I want him to become the number one that he was supposed to be, or at least a 1A or 1B.
Yeah.
So I really want Juju to succeed. So I'm glad that he's actually getting the work and turning it around. It's just we've waited 10 weeks to get him where he should have been week 1. So,
well, I mean, week 1 he did have a really good week. He's just really bad ever since until now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but on the other side, with Jared's roster, this week was just really a week of underperformance. I am way too familiar with that. Pretty much everybody on his roster other than Jacoby Myers underperformed this week. So that's why he ended up where he was. It should have been a much closer matchup, but sometimes that's just the way the things end up. So
I mean, I was kind of shocked that Jared Goff had such a bad game against Seattle. We've seen that defense give up monstrous fantasy points. I mean, he threw for 300 yards, just no touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a quarterback throw for over 300 yards and have an absolutely abysmal fantasy day. You know, in the episode, we talked about one of the key features for Jared's win being, you know, he's got that Goff Woods stack.
Yeah.
And just didn't pan out. It sucks.
No. I lied. I went 1-5. I mean, yeah, 1-5, not 2-4. 1-5.
I went 1-5 as well. I'm not going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let me ask, is Jacoby Myers an every week starter for you now? Because on paper, this was not a good matchup, and he still had a good game.
He's getting the work. He's getting the targets from Cam. They got some good matchups coming up. I definitely have him in consideration for flex matchup. I mean, Baltimore was not a good matchup for him, but 5 catches for 59 yards, and then he threw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Pretty decent fantasy week. Last week he had 12 receptions for 169. The week before, he had 6 receptions. The week before that, he had 4. So he's getting the targets from Cam, which is good. He hasn't been able to get in the end zone himself, but I like the volume and the fact that they're targeting him. He's got Houston coming up with a soft matchup.
Yep.
Arizona's a decent matchup. And then you got the Chargers, who are still beat up, the Rams, and then Miami. So I'm definitely going to consider him every week as a flex starter in my lineup if I had the opportunity to pick him up.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel the same way. And, you know, I know without that passing touchdown, he has a pretty mediocre day. Like, that, I'll grant you that.
But yeah, he's still a 10-point day for a guy that you picked up a week or two ago, and you're most likely starting in your flex or putting in because you need a bye week substitute.
Yeah.
I'll take the 10 points.
So, you know, his targets are more or less increasing. So, you know, week 7, he had 6 targets, then 10, then 14. Last week, he only had 7, but they only threw the ball 17 fucking times. He had almost half their fucking targets. Like, it's fucking, it's silly. It's insanity. So, I mean, for me, I'm definitely starting Jacoby Myers, especially the next 2 weeks against Houston and Arizona, against the Chargers, against the Rams. Yeah, I'm really gonna think about it, because those are really good defenses that can take somebody like him away. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Just he's, let's face it, he's not an elite athlete. You know, he knows how to get open, but he's not especially fast. He's not especially strong. He's not especially mobile. He's not especially elusive. He just kind of does everything pretty good. And
yep.
I think when he plays the Chargers, the Rams, and Miami, you're going to see a different Jacoby Myers. But the next 2 weeks, Houston and Arizona, fucking fire him up. You wouldn't be able to pry him out of my flex with a crowbar.
Yeah. No, I would have to agree with that. Especially the next 2 weeks, you have good matchups. And he's getting hot. So
yeah.
If you're, you know, you're looking at the playoffs, you're trying to make a run, that's the guys you want right now in your lineup, are the guys who are getting the work. They're getting hot right when it's the best time for that to happen, to really push you over the edge if you need another win the next couple of weeks or a couple of wins. Yeah, he's definitely somebody you have to consider as a flex play.
So I also went 1-5 in the head-to-head. I'm not going to go over every game again, but, you know, I picked Eric, and it just felt like he was chasing from the very beginning. The second A.J. Brown laid that dud. And I know he really likes Dallas Goedert, and I don't understand why. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's a good little player, and I wouldn't mind having him as like a late waiver wire ad or something. But I don't think he's like an every week plug and play guy. And I kind of get the feeling that's what Eric thinks.
I agree with that, though, because I think Goedert is, we talked about this, I believe, pre-draft and everything. I think Goedert is taking over that starting job in Philadelphia from Zach Ertz. With him getting injured this year in the last couple of weeks and him just coming back, it's going to take another week or so. I think you'll see him get more involved in the offense. They had a bunch of guys come back this week. Sanders come back. Jeffrey came back. He only had 1 target. They had him on a snap count, but he's still on the field. Goedert was back for the second week. Rodgers is out there.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, he got outplayed by Richard Rodgers.
Yeah, but I still think Goedert is the superior talent, and I think that will win out as the rest of the season progresses. I mean, you got to figure, they're still in a playoff hunt.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That division.
They're the head of the division right now. They're the pride of the NFC East fleet.
Yeah, so I'm extremely hopeful with Goedert. I'm tempering when I start him because I have other tight ends that are all around the same tier right now, like Higby or Fant or Hurst, where it's really going to be matchup-based because of their quarterback play, not so much the talent of them on the field. So I do think he has the ability to take that over and be an every-week starter. I think the chance that was going to happen this year is gone, and we have to hope for it next year. All we can look for is some consistency before the end of the season.
I mean, he is an every-week starter. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's a stud. You know, I mean, I would start him, especially in a favorable matchup. But, you know, like I said, he flat out got outplayed by Richard Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Goedert played 93% of the snaps. Richard Rodgers played 31% of the snaps and finished with more fantasy points. He had more targets. I'm sorry, no, he didn't. Dallas Goedert had 6 targets, 4 receptions for 33 yards. Richard Rodgers had 5 targets, 4 receptions for 60 yards. He's being much more efficient with his touches. I mean, that's almost twice the yards per catch. So, you know, are they looking to use Richard Rodgers down deep and Dallas Goedert's just kind of playing the same role, basically, is what it feels like. That's really what I'm getting at, is it feels like they're trying to plug Richard Rodgers into that Zach Ertz role, and they're trying to make Dallas Goedert keep being Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
And it's working. And
that's possible. That's very possible, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because Richard Rodgers is not Zach Ertz. So even if they're going to push him into that role and Goddard's going to get his 5 targets, 6 targets, and Rodgers is going to get 4 or 5, you're going to see Goddard become more efficient. You're going to see Goddard in the red zone. He's going to get the touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's just, it'll balance itself out. Who I think this is bad news for all around is Zach Ertz. The fact that he's hurt and you got 2 younger tight ends that are both performing well.
Oh, he was already gone. I think everybody knows that.
I think so too, but
since the last year of his contract, they didn't want to sign him. They didn't want to pay him what he wants anyway.
They didn't want to pay him.
And, you know, now he's got to go hit the market. I think he knew he was done, but it's neither here nor there. So, you know, with your and my matchup, I was pretty excited that Kalen Ballage cleared waivers. Nobody even put in a fucking claim on him. And he managed to fall back to me in free agency on Thursday. So I was fucking amped when I got to work. I check it out, see who got claimed. I look at who's available, and there he is. I couldn't fucking believe it. And I couldn't fucking add him fast enough. And it looks like he's going to get a pretty decent little role in L.A. until Austin Eckler comes back. So I know it's only for a couple of weeks, but god damn, how does nobody put a fucking waiver claim in with all these injuries and bye weeks happening? It blew my mind. I couldn't fucking believe it.
He was still on the practice squad, and a lot of people don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, but they called him up last week, and he had a good game.
They did, but they sent him right back to the practice squad on Monday. So
yeah, but then the IR Justin Jackson, everybody knew he was going to get promoted. I mean, I felt like it was like a guarantee he was going to get promoted. I wasn't shocked at all.
They were hyping up Pope and Kelly, so there was still the chance that he wasn't going to get called up.
The old LA hype machine.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to that shit.
People fall for it every time. I thought about picking him up, but I wouldn't have started him.
Well, I mean, you don't need a running back, though. You have plenty of running backs. How did it get by the other 10 guys?
I don't know.
That's what I was shocked by. You know, I didn't expect you to
pick up Brian Null last minute just so that somebody else couldn't have him and start him against me, but should have let him do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least I didn't put him in my starting lineup. He sat on my bench for a week.
And I mean, I didn't even really need Ballage. But I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good matchup. So I was going to start Gallman, who ended up having a better game by 4 fantasy points. He actually had a better game, and I put in Ballage instead just because it was a better matchup. Philly's got a good defensive line; they're good at stuffing the run. So I said, fuck it, I'll bench Gallman. I'll try my luck with Ballage. He gave me 15 fantasy points. I was pumped.
Yeah. No, good week from him.
I can't wait to start him next week. Dwayne Goldman's going in the fucking flex. I'm done with that. Dude, I'm telling you, I came so close. I wanted to pull Jerry Jeudy out so bad, but I fell into the hype. Yeah. Everybody was saying fucking Jerry Jeudy every week from now on. I'm like, ugh, all right. Like, they're targeting him more and more. He's getting deeper and deeper routes. They're playing him in the slot. I'm like, all right. I'll start him. He's still Jerry Jeudy. Fuck him. He's done. He ain't going back into my lineup unless they play Atlanta again. And fucking Josh Kelly, he's gone. He doesn't know it yet. I haven't told him he's fired yet. But that boy gone. They apparently have never and will never give him the work. So I'm all set. I don't want any piece of him anymore. He has no upside. He has no value. I'm not doing it. I'm not playing this fucking game with him. So he's gone. I just don't know who I'm going to drop him for yet, but I'll find somebody. I'll hold on to Kalen Ballage. When Justin Jackson comes back, when Austin Eckler comes back, I'll drop his ass too, because he's not going to get any work after that. But, you know, for now, I'm just going to ride that train. And like I said, Wayne Gallman's still going to work his way into my lineup. I'm probably going to drop Gesicki too, because I'm fucking done with him too. Another soft matchup. I should have started Jordan Reed. He finished, I think, tight end 4 on the week, 5 on the week. And, you know, my intuition was telling me, play Reed. And then I was like, you know what? You picked Gesicki to boom, you stupid fuck. You picked him to boom. He's on your roster. You should fucking play him. And I really did think he was going to boom. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna follow my gut. I'm going to put in Gesicki. Wrong. I mean, granted, it's only a couple points. You know, I mean,
if I
started Reed over Gesicki and I started Gallman over Ballage, it wasn't enough to beat you. So I'm not really beating myself up.
No.
It's just
a concerning situation with Gesicki in Miami.
It's spotty at best.
Yeah. Especially with Preston Williams out. That's what's really concerning about it is you would think that they're going to use him a little bit more, but we'll see what happens going forward. It doesn't seem like Tua's real apt on using a tight end, but
I mean, he's had 2 games with double-digit points. It's not like he was impressive up to this point. You know, yeah, he had a monster game against Buffalo. He had a really good game against San Francisco. He had a mediocre game against Jacksonville, 8.5 points. I'll call that mediocre. But short of that, it's been bad. Like, he's done, dude. Now I get it. Now I see why you dropped him. I apologize.
That's okay. Sometimes it's not clear the first time. You got to look at it the second or third.
Yeah, I just got to take my ass whooping.
I picked him back up. And I dropped him right away.
I know. You dropped him just before week 2, and then he has a 27-point game, and you're like, oh, no, you fucking put the waiver claim in.
So I picked him up. I'm like, it's going to happen this season. I knew it. I shouldn't have dropped him yet. And then I picked him up, and he's been trash ever since.
Yeah. So, as far as head-to-head goes, the only pick I got right was the same as yours. I picked Nate to beat Adisa. Nate did narrowly beat Adisa. It was a pretty pathetic showing on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I got the rest of them wrong. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't really mind. I'm kind of used to being wrong, so it's not a big deal. I think that's pretty much going to do it for the episode. So, Steve, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Do we want to talk about the Thursday night game at all?
We could.
Seattle and Arizona.
Yes.
So Thursday night should actually be a good game for a change on Thursday night.
I was about to say, man, the Thursday game is Seattle, Arizona. Two good teams?
Two good teams, 2 good quarterbacks.
The NFL must have thought it was a Sunday.
Fantastic receivers. It should be a fantastic game. Should be high scoring, a lot of yards, a lot of fantasy points. So I put the over-under at 21 points and don't start anybody.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to Eric today about this game, you know, because I was saying the same thing. I said Thursday night games are always fucking trash.
Mm-hmm.
And one team just steamrolls the other. And he goes, well, it's going to be a good game this week. And I was like, oh, yeah, fucking Seattle, Arizona. And then I started thinking about it, and I said, nope. Arizona is going to fucking steamroll Seattle. I'm calling it right now.
See, I don't think so. You have Arizona coming off this great fucking win with the Hail Mary to Hopkins. If you were able to see that, it's one of those plays that you're never going to forget. It was Rodgers-esque in the Hail Mary. And you have Seattle coming off a terrible loss to a division rival. It's another division game on Thursday night. They're all tied for first place in a division. So I actually think it's going to be a pretty good game. I don't expect it to be, you know, 60, 70 points. But I think you're looking at, you know, 24-21 or 27-24, somewhere right around there, with decent fantasy production from both quarterbacks. Chris Carson should be back this week to help out with Seattle's run game. That should help out Russell Wilson a little bit more. I really think you're going to see a bounce back from Metcalf this week. And on the other side, Hopkins is going to do his thing. Christian Kirk should bounce back and have another pretty decent week to using him. I look for Drake to get a little bit more work, Edmonds as well. So I think overall that the game's probably going to be fairly decent for fantasy. Better than most of your Thursday nights. Still not as good as it would be if it was on a Sunday night.
I really feel like Seattle's going to get steamrolled. It's that Thursday thing. One team just gets ran the fuck over every Thursday. And I don't think the defense in Seattle will allow them to run over anybody. So I don't know. I just get that feeling in my gut. Like Arizona's just going to come out there and fucking spank them.
I don't think so, because Jamal Adams is healthy, and he had a really good week last week. He's finally on the field and playing the way that they traded for him to play. You get Chris Carson back. That really does help Seattle. DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, or not Chris Carson, just experience-wise, having him back there is going to help Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And Wilson is going to have a much better game this week than he did last week, just simply because he had such a bad game last week. Wilson typically doesn't have two games like that in a row. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Like I said, 24-21, 27-24, somewhere right around there. But a pretty decent matchup for both sides.
So, you know that, I mean, obviously you're aware that they've played before earlier mm-hmm. this season. DK Metcalf had a bad game. He scored about 4.5 fantasy points, 5 targets, 2 receptions. Tyler Lockett broke the fucking machine. 20 targets, 15 receptions for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
Is this the Patrick Peterson thing? Is it just Tyler Lockett getting the weaker coverage and going the fuck off? Like, are you really expecting a big game out of Metcalf?
I'm expecting 15 points.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting him to break the world, but I'm expecting, you know, say 12 to 15 points, which is probably what he's projected at. I'm not looking at it right now, but
he was projected for 18.
Okay. So he's probably going to underperform slightly, but I would say 15 is probably right around where he's going to finish.
Yeah.
On the day, I would say Lockett's probably going to be roughly 18 to 20, because I do think he's going to get a little bit lighter coverage.
Oh, hold on. Tyler Lockett did not practice today.
I'm not worried about that.
I am.
I'm Says not. He I saw that earlier.
Questionable with a knee injury.
Yeah, it was minor because he finished the game.
Sometimes they go out there to finish the game and it ends up hurting them more than it helps them.
Yeah, but it's Thursday, so they're...
Well, that's kind of my point, though, is that it's a Thursday, so he doesn't even get a full week of rest.
No, but that's why they're not going to... They're not going to practice him this week because it's a short week. I'm not worried about that.
I don't know. It's like, I mean, even a minor injury can become an injury that causes you to miss the game when it's these Thursday night games. We've seen this over and over.
It is, but do not practice with a guy like Lockett. If it's a first or second year guy, then maybe. But when you're talking about a guy like Lockett, realistically, he doesn't need to be out there every day practicing.
No, of course not, but it's not a good sign.
No, if he doesn't get any work tomorrow, like if he's not limited tomorrow and he doesn't practice again tomorrow, I'll be concerned. If he gets a limited practice in, he'll play on Thursday. That's really what you got to look for, is if he at least gets a limited walkthrough or something tomorrow,
yeah,
he'll play.
Okay. You know, I kind of forgot all about that, a fucking injury, because, I mean, with a Thursday, it's definitely something to pay much closer attention to.
Mm-hmm.
That also brings into question Chris Carson, who's practicing limitedly as of today. But I wonder if it's like, you know, if they played on Sunday, he'd be good to go, but because it's a Thursday, maybe not.
Right. I'm pretty sure that they're planning on Carson playing this week.
Well, I'm sure they are, but that doesn't mean he's gonna. I mean,
no, I think he's trending towards playing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he did practice for the first time today. We'll see what happens with that. If you have these guys, I would definitely be paying close attention to their status, because you don't want to get caught with your pants down. Leave Chris Carson in your lineup because he's supposed to be back, or
right.
Leave Tyler Lockett in your lineup, and then the game starts and they ain't in it. You know, then you're stuck with that donut on your fucking roster.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, short of that, I. You know, it's like I really do have this gut feeling that Arizona's just going to fucking shellack them. I mean, Christian Kirk also had a very solid game against Seattle. But, I mean, Seattle's defense is so fucking bad. That's why I just can't get behind them as, like, a real contender. You know, like, a for real team, a real top team. Like, they're just so fucking bad on the other side of the ball. It's like, you know, I mean, that offense is banging on all cylinders. But that defense is fucking atrocious, man. And it's, you know, it's exactly what I said the last episode. You know, I said the Rams could really win that fucking game just because they have a defense. And it doesn't matter who your offense is, they can score. They can score against Seattle. So all you need to beat Seattle is a defense. And sure enough, fucking LA Rams defense shows up, slows Seattle down, they lose the fucking game. End of story.
Yeah, that's definitely how it worked out.
Which, I mean, Arizona's defense is nothing to write home about.
No, but they're getting better. They're getting better as the season has gone on.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I'm wondering if Patrick Peterson is just getting healthy or all of a sudden he gives a shit about the team because he sees that Kyler Murray's the real deal.
I think he's getting healthy. I think their defense is starting to click. And like I said, Jamal Adams was actually healthy and looked healthy on the field, looked ready to play. And that makes a huge difference for Seattle and the back end of their defense. So,
all right. So, I mean, call your winner. Who's winning the game?
I'm going to take Seattle, but it's going to be close. It's going to be less than 3 points.
Okay. I'm still taking Arizona.
No, I don't. I can see it. I really can see it. And it should be a tight game. It's a division game. It should be one of the best Thursday night games that we get to see this year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk combined for about 140 yards and 3 touchdowns against Seattle. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's no Tyler Lockett game, but, you know, that, like I said, that defense is just so bad. I can't get behind it. You know, if they were playing somebody with a real pushover defense, a real soft defense, I would give it a whole another look for sure. I think that, I just don't think this is the week, but I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the episode. So, Steve, do you have anything you wanted to add? Anything else you wanted to add?
Nope, I don't. Just remember to get the guys that play Thursday night into the correct spots in your lineup. And good luck this week, week 11. Getting close to the playoffs. Now's the time to make your run. Pay attention to your waivers. And good luck.
I'm glad you reminded me about the Thursday night game. That was a really good conversation. So just want to thank you guys for listening. As always, we did not have any mailbag this week. We were heartbroken. We were disappointed. Steve cried just before we came on. I told him to man up a little bit. We got a show to do. He did. Did an awesome job. Covered it up well. I think that's why Eric didn't come on at all, because I think he knows that A, we're replacing him with Shane, and B, that we didn't get any mailbag. It's the only reason he shows up, guys. So you need to call us, 508-343-8010. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Ask us anything you want. Tell us anything you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter what it is, dude. Fuck it. As long as it ain't racist, I'm putting it on. I don't care. You can call us whatever, every name in the book. That's all I care about.
Give us your boom bust picks. I bet you can do better than we do.
Fantasy Pros PPR scoring for the week. Outside the top 20, pick your booms. You think it's so fucking easy. It fucking ain't, 10 dude.
Experts agree. It is not.
Yeah. Watch, somebody will call up with their fucking booms and just nail them, just drill them. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a good interview. Shane will be out.
Yep. So you just got to fucking, please get them in before Tuesday at 8 o'clock. That's when we record the recaps. That's when we have time for the mailbag. Like, obviously, we'll still do them if we're doing the prediction show, but we have to be a lot quicker because there's a lot more stuff to go over on the predictions show. So if you want a full detailed answer, get it in before Tuesday. If you have a long voice message with all your booms or all your busts, get them in before Tuesday. Please and thank you. I will not ever skip a mailbag. So even if you have it for the prediction show, we will make it work one way or another. If you guys take the time to reach out, I'm going to put it on. So I gave you the voicemail. The email is dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I've taken to checking that more than once a day. I feel so bad that I missed those first two emails, dude. We talked about it in a previous episode. It just sucked. I was so fucking pissed. Like, I beg people to reach out every week, and then some people do, and I don't see it because I didn't look because I just didn't expect anything to be there. I was so used to seeing nothing, you know? But,
become accustomed to failure, Brian. It's very hard to readjust, so I completely understand. But yeah, please get your mailbag questions in, email or call us. We really want to answer your questions on the show. Take our advice or ask us what we think you should do and do exactly the opposite. It's probably the safer bet.
Absolutely the safer bet. I mean, for me, all joking aside, the mailbag is my favorite part of the show. That's what I really like to do, especially the voicemails. I like hearing the voice ask the question myself, but.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that is going to wrap up this episode of the Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Brian Moran, and I just want to thank you guys for listening, and don't forget to set your lineups.